How much harder will it be for presidential candidates to raise money in this economy?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. While President Obama is out of the country meeting with Irish leaders today, the number of candidates who want to take his job will increase by one. Former Minnesota Governor Tim Pawlenty announced he's running for the GOP nomination. It's already a crowded field, and the economy is different than it was back in 2008. So the fundraising picture is different, too. Alex Burns is a reporter for Politico. He's with us now to talk about it this morning. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. How has the recession changed the fundraising game this time around, especially for the GOP?
Certainly on both sides, an obstacle in the sort of small donor fundraising that both parties rely on is that a lot of people simply don't have the kind of disposable income that they had back in 2008 to give those $50, $100, $200 contributions. That might be a bigger problem for Republicans this time around, since they don't necessarily have the same deep-pocketed donor base that President of the United States can command, but it's something that both parties are going to have to deal with.
And so the field for the GOP is pretty much getting together right now. I mean, if somebody were to get into the race later, maybe later this year before the primary, just ahead of the primary season, do you think they'd be able to raise enough money to win it all?
Well, in order for that to happen, you know, that person would either have to be a figure who commands just enormous popular interest, someone like, you know, Barack Obama was in 2008, or someone with the kind of cachet with insiders that they would be able to steal donors away from declared candidates like Mitt Romney, Tim Pawlenty. Right now, it's not clear who that kind of person might be, short of perhaps a Jeb Bush.
All right. Alex Burns, reporter for Politico. Alex, thanks.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Markets are lower right now, 1.5% for the NASDAQ, the S&P down 1%, the Dow down 135 points to 12,376. Campbell Soup said earnings in its last 3 months were up 11%. Moody's warned today things could get worse for Japan before they get better. Sony said today yearly losses will likely top $3 billion. And Honda said Japanese workers would be off 14 days because of parts shortages there. The price of oil, by the way, about $97 a barrel. Hopefully that's going to translate, by the way, at the gas pump. In Hawaii, oil prices factor in far beyond the service station. That's because Hawaii gets most of its electricity from crude oil. From the Sustainability Desk, Marketplace's Adrian Hill reports.
A banged-up, very non-electric Kia is parked in front of Hawaii's first public electric vehicle charging station. Annoying if anyone wanted to charge up, but the old Kia doesn't seem to be much of a problem. The value of driving an electric car in Hawaii isn't the same as it is in other places, because most of Hawaii's electricity comes from petroleum, and because electricity from petroleum costs a lot. Residents pay about 3 times as much for power as the rest of the U.S., and prices have been climbing with oil costs, over 10% in the last year.
We call it kind of the paradise tax.
Kathy Carroll runs an art gallery on the island of Lanai with her husband. She turns off the lights in the gallery when they don't have customers. At home, she uses CFLs, and she uses cold water to wash her clothes.
I'm definitely a better saver with more expensive power.
Carol says she's heard about a neighbor who saves energy by using only headlamps at night to get around. Truth or rumor, hard to know. But high electricity costs have people in Hawaii thinking about how and when they use electricity. According to the International Energy Agency, residents of Hawaii use less energy than most of the rest of us. So is higher-priced energy a good way to cut use?
Higher costs alone aren't necessarily a good thing. They make you conserve some, but they have a disproportionate impact on the poor.
Daniel Kamen works on renewable energy policy at the World Bank. He says by many estimates, electricity in the U.S. is undervalued. But if prices go up, he says you need good policy and education to go with it that helps people cut their energy use.
But higher prices, when combined with thoughtful policies, have proven to be a real recipe for creative innovation, both financially and environmentally.
Hawaii's high prices and its dependence on petroleum have encouraged it to push for more renewable energy sources. The state is looking to the sun, wind, and ocean to produce 40% renewable energy by 2030. I'm Adrian Hill for Marketplace.
We've got a map of state-by-state electricity rates at marketplace.org.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. And by Manta, connecting millions of small business owners and new customers every day on the web at Manta.com. Marketplace Innovation Reporting is supported by the 2011 Jaguar XJ. Learn more at a local dealer or at JaguarUSA.com.
The publishing industry's biggest trade fair kicks off today. The Book Expo has been around for more than a century, but the number of people going is slipping. So Marketplace's Jennifer Collins says this year's event is getting a boost from players who aren't exactly in publishing.
For the first time, Apple is meeting with publishers at Book Expo America. Why? It's the iPad.
They sold more units in nine months, than Amazon did in 3 years.
Fordham University professor Al Greco says Amazon's Kindle still rules in ebook sales, but Apple has quickly captured 10% of that market.
They are a player in the book publishing industry today, and my guess is they think they're going to become a bigger player down the line.
He says so will lots of other tablets and ebook readers. Orrin Tyker of the American Booksellers Association says to survive, retailers need to know how to operate in the digital marketplace.
We know that some of our customers, some of the time, are going to want to read books digitally, and we're going to want to provide them to them, and that's what we're trying to do.
Tyker says 300 of his members, independently owned bookstores, are now selling ebooks through a partnership with Google. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And finally, a Southern California woman is in trouble after trying to sell what she said was a rare piece of moon rock for $1.7 million. It's illegal to sell moon rocks from U.S. lunar missions, but the woman tried to sell this rock to an undercover NASA agent. All kinds of questions, of course, about this case. Is the rock really from the moon? How'd she get it? One question keeps popping into my head. When did NASA get undercover agents? I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Derivatives, collateralized debt obligations, mortgage-backed securities. Yeah, you try spinning those into a movie.
My first reaction was, who's going to want to watch a movie about a bunch of guys in suits and ties sitting around a table?
Yeah, nobody. I'm Kai Rizdahl. Too Big to Fail, the film. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.